All right. Now today, the message the Holy Spirit has given me is that God is love. So let us look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, way in the back. Beloved, all right, say it, I am God's beloved. Do not believe every spirit. So, if you believe every spirit, you're in trouble.
Yes.
So, everything that is born of this world is evil. Is evil. Vain. Foolish. But God's spirit is perfect. It is holy. It is unconditional. You can't condition this love, God's love. Beloved, you are God's beloved. Believe not every spirit, but try, test the spirits, whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So there are many false religions in this world. In fact, all of them are false. And much of Christianity also, which goes by the name, is false. It's not true. I'll explain that in a minute. Hereby, we know the Spirit of God. Here's how you know which one's true and false. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that spirit is of God. So the fact that he came in the flesh means he was not just born like we were, but he was already alive eternally in heaven and came downstairs to be born as a baby and then to grow up among us as though he were born here, because he was born, but he actually came. He was sent downstairs to be born. So he lived before he lived. He was already alive eternally, and he always will live, and he never can die. So when he came here, he died. He lived so he could die. So he lived so he could die. That took care of your death. And every spirit, verse 3, that confesses not, every spirit that confesses not, every spirit, every religion, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that spirit's not of God. So when someone says, Jesus didn't come down from heaven, he's just a man, well, that's a lying spirit. That's a false spirit. When someone says, you have to behave yourself, that's a lying spirit. That's a false spirit. You cannot, you will not, there's no way. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. This is the spirit. So every other spirit is the spirit of Antichrist. All spirits, all religions, all philosophies, everything that man has ever done is wrong, evil, bad. In other words, why is it bad, evil, vain, shallow, etc.? Well, because it won't lead to happiness. Because it won't lead to eternal life. Because the reason he created you was to take you home with him. And I want to show you the way home today. I want to show you how that you cannot fail to arrive, or how you can fail to arrive. Simple. You are of God, little children, and you've overcome them, those other spirits of Antichrist. You've overcome them. You have overcome them. You have already overcome them. They're not going to be overcome. You've already overcome them by being born of the Spirit of Christ, not of the spirit of Antichrist. In other words, the Antichrist spirit is no spirit at all. You've already overcome that. That's a lie. Those are lying spirits. So God wants you to know that you're his beloved. So he's sitting here. This is God's love right here, unconditional loving God. Never been an angry judge, never been an angry judge, never been an angry judge, never will be an angry judge. He's always been a loving father. He is a loving father. The others are liars. The reason you know is because they're asking you to do something he is not.
Amen.
Even though you think he did, even though he said he did, he didn't. He made a promise, not a law.
Amen.
Even though he gave a law, the reason he gave a law is so that you couldn't keep it. He gave you the law so you'd realize you couldn't keep it, so that then he could give you the promise, which you can't keep either, but he'll keep the promise for you. That's powerful. That's powerful. So he gave you the law so that you would learn you couldn't keep it. How many know little children can't keep laws that say be perfect? So God's law is be perfect like I am. I want you to be unconditionally loving just like me. Otherwise you can't come home. You can't come to my house. If you're part of my house, you got to be born again and then filled with the Spirit and then led of the Spirit. If you're part of my family, you're born of the Spirit, then you have to be filled with the Spirit and then led of the Spirit. That's those three chairs right there in the middle. That's how he gets you in the back chair to be his beloved. In other words, everything he ever did, that's just how he did it. Everything he ever did was for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So God has done it all. It doesn't have to be done by you. It couldn't be done by you. You never did it anyway. And you never could do it because you're not perfect, but God is perfect, and he did it for you. Then he did it in you. Then he does it through you, those three chairs. So we're going to see how God today fulfilled his own word, his own promise to you, and never did give you a law that you could keep. Amen. He never gave you a law that you could keep. If you read the law carefully, it said, be ye perfect as I am. Well, none of us have done that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if all have sinned, then there's no one able to be good enough to go home to Father's house unless it's a gift, unless it's a gift, unless he promised you that gift. So God wants to teach you that though you want to do something for him, you can't. When it's already been done, you can't add to it. Amen. If it's already been done, you can't add to it. If he already did the perfect work, the Father, when he finished creation, said it's finished. Jesus hung on the cross, he said it's finished, so your redemption's finished too. The only thing that's not finished is you believing that and then walking in it. That's the only thing. All the rest has been done. So what do? Nothing. If he started it, he'll continue it, and he'll finish it. Amen. He does it all. Thank you, praise you, adore you, the key to worship. The only way to worship God is if you don't do anything. If you do something, it's not worship. If he does everything, that's worship. I'm thanking him because he did everything. I'm thanking him because he is everything. And I'm praising him and I'm adoring him because he's my beloved. And that was his idea, not mine. Amen. So most other churches are wrong. And I'm not saying they're wrong because they're wrong. They're wrong. I'm saying they're wrong. Because they don't teach that God's a loving father. They teach that he's an angry judge that wants you to behave and cooperate with him and participate with him. I say absolutely not. You can't do it because you can't do what's perfect. Even if you're born again, you still can't do it. Even if you're being discipled and disciplined and you're wanting to be a good Christian, you still can't do it. Even if you've started, you still can't do it. Because he doesn't want someone who starts. He doesn't want someone that abides, continues. He wants someone that makes it all the way to the end. He's the only one that can do that. So the church is teaching a lie today that says that God wants you to do something or at least agree to something or do something. No, do nothing. It's already been done. Either he done it all or it ain't done. And so when he says it's finished, it's finished. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't appear. Nobody can see that we're Christians. They can't see it. They can't see it. Even if you did a good work that they saw, yeah, that's God. Still, they wouldn't know if it was perfect. They wouldn't know if you did something different the next minute. They might think you were a hypocrite. So the only way it can be done is because God wrote it down in the Bible and said, that's my promise right there. Either believe it or don't. If you believe my promise, it's done. So when Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. Amen. Now, this is the love of God. You are of God, little children. And you have overcome them, the Antichrists, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So it isn't just you. This is Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. There is no hope otherwise. We are of God. We're not of man. We're not born of man. We're not natural anymore. We've been born of God. How? Forget how. Forget how. If he says you have been, you have been. If he says that, whatever he requires of you, he'll do for you. And then he'll do it in you. And then he'll do it through you. Amen. So nobody has an excuse to say, well, I couldn't be perfect. Well, that's why he did everything. He did everything because you couldn't do everything. I mean, you can't do everything. You can't even start, actually. Even if you built the foundation, you couldn't build the house. Besides, you're the house that he's building. And he's the foundation that he's laying. So therefore, you can't finish it either, and you can't complete it, and you can't do a thing. And so to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. So that's the power. That's the power of God, that not only are you confessing your sin every day, not only are you believing in Jesus every day, but you're also being perfected every day until you arrive at that place where you can see it. You know when that'll be? That'll be when that trumpet sounds. When Jesus comes back, the trumpet sounds, you get a new body, you get a new soul, just like your new heart. You already have the new heart. You don't yet have a perfect soul. You are in process. You are in process. You are in process. Your work in progress. You're not yet finished. How many know there's nobody perfect yet? Unless you're a pastor, you are not yet perfect. Unless you're a pastor. No. Michelle, you know that. So I believe we're all in the same boat, which is that we don't look yet like what we are, because it doth not yet appear. Nevertheless, we already are what we are in God's sight. In God's sight. So God has already done everything he's going to do in heaven. There's nothing more to be done. And he's already purchased you. And if you don't submit to it, that's your decision. If you do submit to it, that also is your decision. If you like the good news that God's a loving father, never been an angry judge, you are his beloved, you are his beneficiary, you are the one that he loves and cares for, you are the one he wants to marry, you are the one he wants to be with forever. If you do believe that, you got it.
Amen.
He counts that.
Amen.
He counts that, even though you did nothing to get it. Whosoever denieth the Son, verse 23. No, where am I? Down here. 7. Beloved, let us love one another. In other words, because we are able to do it in his power, you can love one another. You don't have it because you have the power to love. You do not have the power to love. If you were removed, taken away from the vine, your branch wouldn't bear any fruit at all. The only reason you can do it is because you're keeping your eye on him and not an eye on how much fruit you got. You don't have any fruit to brag about. Even if fruit came out, that was Jesus. Even if something happened, that was Jesus. If it was perfect, that was Jesus. If it was not perfect, that was you. That's very clear. For our love and all love is of God. In other words, not Buddha. Not the Muslim. No one else. They don't have that love. And everyone that loves, truly loves, is born of God and knows God. So if you're able to love, which is perfect, that perfect love is God. So God is now perfecting us. There's a process going on of forgiving your sin and then of changing you from glory to glory on a daily basis. You have to be renewed every day, every day, every day, every day. How many know that nobody has yet arrived? Nobody has yet arrived. So there is no Mother Teresa. There's no Billy Graham. There's no Pastor Jim. There's nothing. No one has ever arrived yet until Jesus comes back and that trumpet sounds. Then you'll see it. That'll be the first time you'll know it with your own eye. You will see him in the land of the living. He's going to come back down here and show himself, and then you will know at once. Ah, you're born again. You're a lover. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Okay, here's God sitting here in this chair, number one here, and then you're in chair 5 there. He's loving you right now, and this is how it's manifested toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So the only life you have is his life. And his life is no longer here. His life is upstairs in heaven. And your heart now is upstairs. You're actually spirit. It's spiritual. It's not natural. So spiritually, you're already in heaven. You're already seated with Christ in heavenly places now. Though you don't see it. You don't smell it. You don't touch it. You can't validate that in any way. Even your good works wouldn't prove it. Nothing proves it but this word, this promise right here. And if you believe that, that's a miracle. If you believe in that, that's a miracle. And that's a That's a miracle that God provides by showing you you're so wicked, you're so miserable, you're such a failure that you cannot be perfect like God created you to be. You failed what God created you to be. And everybody then that failed has hope in Jesus Christ. But if you didn't fail, you have no hope in Jesus Christ. If you felt that part of you failed, but not all of you, you have no hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus either did all of it or he did none of it. So he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. In this was made manifest the love of God to us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Right there. That's love. Love is not love. It's love. Not that we love God, making it real clear. It's not that you did it. It's not that you did this. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us. So love has nothing to do with you loving. It has to do with God loving. It was his decision, not by any law, freely. He just freely wanted to do it. And he decided he would love only sinners because that's all he could find. So you have to be a sinner. I pray, my prayer, deepest prayer for you is that you'd be wicked and rotten and sinful. And I believe I can see some that have cooperated there. So if you know that apart from Christ you can do nothing except sin, if you know that, blessed are you. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord, not the one that trusts in his own goodness or his own capacity or his own ability or his own confidence in your flesh. Your flesh can never be, your flesh will never go to heaven. Amen. Your flesh, even if man at his best state, you still can't go to heaven. So all religions, including many that call themselves Christian, the bulk of them, all are lukewarm because they cannot stop Satan. That's how you know it, because they can't stop Satan. So the reason the Antichrist is here and the reason the troubles are coming on us in this last day is to test you, to prove you, to see whether you're of God or whether you're of man. If you're of the flesh, you can't defeat him. So the wicked one, the Antichrist, and all of his minions are about to rule. They are about to take over. And you Christians are thinking, well, I thought Jesus was going to come back. Yeah, he's going to come back after the bad guy. Because the bad guy is good for you. The bad guy is good for you. Because it's going to put you to the test. And if you weaken and fall down and start to try to do good works, you aren't going to make it. Because you can't add to what's already been done. So we'll find out right away whether when bad comes, you confess your sins, you give praise to God, and you bless your enemies no matter who they are. Don't worry about it. There's nothing they can do. Because God's already decided he wants to love you and he's going to have you. And not only that, he promised, I'll have an innumerable host. I'll have an innumerable host. How many are part of that number? Me and Betsy, Noble, a few others. I better put on my glasses to make sure somebody didn't raise their hand. How many are part of that number? It's a numberless host. Praise God. That's your faith. You don't see it. You don't understand that. You don't even want it. Sometimes you want to do your own thing. It doesn't matter. It's his desire to have every man saved. That's his desire. Amen. But, he will never force that. Therefore, your desire, you have to decide that for yourself. You're free. You're free to decide. Do I want to trust in me? Or do I want to trust in him? Because if I trust in him, it's 100%. I'm not adding anything to it. I'm not finishing anything up. The Holy Spirit's the finisher. Jesus is the Savior. And God the Father is the one that's the Holy One. That's the Merciful One. And that's the Mighty One. So God does it all. There's nothing more to be done. Now that should be good news for the body of Christ. But instead, a lot of people want to prove that they're Christians by what they do or don't do. Well, I don't smoke and drink and chew anymore. Well, that's great. You'll go straight to hell. No, but I've been going to church. Yeah, you go to hell too. But I was a pastor. Yeah, you go to hell. And so it doesn't matter what you've done. He's already done it. You can't add to it. Amen. You can't add to it. He will not accept it. I'm telling you, if you have even a smidgen of goodness in you, you're out. Because you lied. Because you are not Jesus Christ, and that's the only one that got into heaven. Amen. Now, unless you're in him, you're not in. Unless you're in him, you're not in. You can't get in on your own. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, you can't get home. But if you're in him, you can do all things. You can do all things. What? All things. That means all things that he has already done before the foundation of the world, which you're going to walk in today, because before the foundation of the world, he already knew what everyone was going to do. And he already designed the perfect walk for you, and you didn't walk in it. And you have to confess that every day. God, I wasn't perfect again today. God, I wasn't perfect again today. He'll forgive you. How many know he is faithful and just to forgive? And chapter 3 or 4, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So he not only forgives you, but when he forgives you, you still have the sin. He forgives you. He didn't take it away. You still have it. He loves you before you change. He loves you while you're yet a sinner. He loves you while, even after you're a Christian and you're a saint. How many know saints sin? Saints sin. That is, Christians can let you down. Has anyone ever noticed that of other people? Have you ever noticed that there are people in this church? I know there are several in the second row right there. Two anyway. There's two right there. And then in the next row, we got five. And so on. So God is good. God doesn't want you to work. How many know, when you're his beloved, he doesn't want you to have any burdens. Amen. He doesn't want you to do any labors. Amen. He doesn't want you to lift anything. He's already done all the lifting. He just wants you to sit back and believe. That's a promise. Amen. That's a promise. Rest. How many know that a few of you have messed up big time? I don't mean every one of you, but a few of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. In other words, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So no one gets in by their goodness. No one has any. As a matter of fact, Jesus is your righteousness, or you don't have any. He is your righteousness. My life is hid with God in Christ. My life is not even here. My righteousness isn't here. My righteousness is up there in the vault, and no one can touch it. The devil can't get to it. So nothing that you do counts. I want to say it again, because I know you think some of your good works count. They don't. You'll never go to heaven by any of the good works that you've done, or even that God did through you and for you. You're not going to go to heaven because of that. You're going to go to heaven because God loves you and wants you in heaven. And if you believe that, he counts that as righteousness. Not if you help him. Not if you cooperate with him. He doesn't want you to cooperate. I know a lot of teachers teach that, well, God started it, we finish it. Or others teach, well, God started it, but we're going to cooperate with him, and so on and so forth. The only cooperation you could have is, Lord, I don't resist anything you're doing, do it. Because he can't force you. So the one thing he wants you to do is nothing, and then the other thing he wants you to do is, God, you just do it. I can't do it. So you just do it. Anything you want to do is fine with me. Amen. But if you resist it, let's say you say, I want to still sin. Okay, he won't stop you. He will not overcome that. Or let's say you're forgiven and you don't want to actually be mature. You just want to be immature, sin and get forgiven. And you just want to be a believer and not a doer of the word. Oh, that's okay. He won't force you. So the lukewarm church does believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that he died. They believe that he died for them. They believe that they could go to heaven by faith. But they don't want their faith to be active in love. Therefore, they're lukewarm, they're not hot, and so therefore only the hot will go to heaven, because they're the only ones that took the whole process from law to gospel till the end. Amen. So it's not he who begins, with, I confess my sin. It's not he who says, I believe in Jesus. It's only those that actually are a bride without spot or wrinkle or stain or blemish or any such thing. Those are the only ones that are going home. Now, will these others maybe go home? Maybe. But there's no scripture that says for sure. So it isn't that you'll go home. It's that you'll be ready when he comes if you're in that chair right there, number 4 in this numeration. God is 1, 2, 3, 4, to you, 5. So 5 has to come from 4. You can't get 5 just because you're in chair 3 or 4. You have to come, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4. You have to come from 4. So he's only coming back for 4, not coming back for the others. Does that mean they won't go to heaven? It doesn't mean that. They could. They may. I don't know. All I know is he said, blessed is the one that's ready. So that all I know is they're the ones, and the others going to be shut out. I do know that he shuts the door on the others. But that doesn't mean he couldn't forgive them during the millennium, 1,000 years, and then they could still get in later. But it doesn't say that. It only says, blessed is he who's part of the first resurrection. Could be there's a second. But it might not be. I think I'll just try to go in that first group. Because in that first group, he does it all. In that first group, those are the ones that said, he does it all. Now maybe these others will learn a lesson as we leave, as we depart, rapture out of here. They may learn a lesson, say, yeah, we might have messed up a little bit. How many know that the group that went to hell before, during the days of Noah, that group, Jesus went down into hell, preached to them, and a bunch of them rose from the dead, walked into Jerusalem. How many are aware of that? On the day of resurrection, a whole bunch of others also were resurrected that day. So it could be that Jesus will revisit, which would be nice for the lukewarm. Especially if they went, uh-oh, we made a big mistake. How many know if God's a loving Father and he doesn't want anyone to perish? No one. It would be good if you paid attention. So all we have to do is find out his protocol. His protocol is he's a loving Father. Skip these three chairs of the means how you get there. Just go to one chair five. Go straight there. You're the beloved. Everything in this world is for you. Everything God has ever said, ever done, everything about God is for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's no one. So it says here in John, the 4th chapter, 1 John, herein is love, verse 10, not that we love God, not that we love God. That's not what love is. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. You see, chair 4 here, that would be we loving God. But chair 3 is that he loved us. And not only that, chair 2 is that he loved us while we were yet sinners. Now that's amazing. That is amazing grace. And not only that, but even after he forgives you in chair 3 here, you're still going to sin. And every day, you have to do it every day. You have to believe again. And his mercies are new and fresh every morning. Every morning. And he wants you to confess every morning, chair 2. Chair 2 is confess. Confess is not change. Confess is not feel bad. He doesn't want you to feel bad when he shows you a sin. Doesn't want you to stop sinning and start doing the right thing because that would be you doing it. He just wants you to confess. So it says, he is faithful and just if you confess your sins. He is faithful and just. Not if you change. Not if you stop doing the sin. Not if you start doing what you think is good. Because what you think is good may not be good. As a matter of fact, it is not good. Let him do it. Let him do it all. Why? Because that's what makes God God. Only God can do what God can do. What God requires, he's the only one that can do it. Now, that's not what most ministers teach, but they're wrong. That's probably why we're thin like this here. I love it. I love it. But I'm going to tell you something. Truth sets free. If you get a hold of this, it's really good news. Because others are thinking, well, I'm helping out a little bit. I did do some good things. That you're not. You're not going to do it. He doesn't want that. How can you say that what God did and said it's finished isn't finished and you can add to it? You can't add to what's perfect. If it's perfect, the only thing you can do is mar it. If it's perfect and you touch it, it's not going to be perfect anymore. Even though you're born again. And even though you want to. Because when I'm born again, I want to be a good Christian, but I may not be one acting. But he has to do all that. So the Holy Spirit's in you to will, chair 3, and to do, chair 4. That's why you'll be his beloved, chair 5. The beloved is like a wife being married to a husband. She just lets the man take all the burden, and she takes all the blessing. It's perfect. How many know that when you're married to a Christian, he might still sin? When you're married to God, ain't going to happen. When you're married to God, how many know that you could trust God more than you could your husband? Amen. Or your pastor? Amen. Or your president? Amen. So you cannot trust any man. There's only one mediator between man and God. That's the man, Jesus Christ. He's the only one you can trust. And the Father sent him into the world to show us what the love of God looked like. Did Jesus ever do one work for you? Did Jesus ever do anything for you? I know you all think he did. He did nothing. Here's what he said. Somebody one says, well, good teacher. Whoa, why do you call me good? Me. Why did you call me good? Well, you walk on water and you do this and you do that. And you've done a lot of good works. He said, the good works that I do, I did not do, but the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. I didn't do those works. You think I came here in my own name? You think I can't? No, I came in the name of the Lord, and the Jews said, kill him. That's why they killed him. Because he said he came and he said that the works he did, God did. That's why they killed him. They killed him because he said, I did God's work. No, you did not. God does the work. He's the lead ox that does all the pulling. You're just along for the ride. You're the bride taking the ride. Instead of the whore who rides on the beast, you are the bride that allows God to do it all. The Lord Jesus Christ is pulling everything. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Rest means stop laboring. It means cease from your labors. It means Shabbat. Why Israel can never arrive at Shabbat Shalom, a perfect Sabbath. The reason why is she can't not do something. She's trying her best to do something. So they've had to switch it a few times. But under the law, nothing is made perfect. But under the gospel, everything is finished. And you can be a Muslim, you can be a Buddhist, you can be a Hindu, you can be a witchcraft person, you can be a Satanist. You still have the offer to you, I want to marry you. You can take that offer. I don't care what your religion is, how much labor you've done, God wants you in. He has never turned anyone down. He died for all men willy-nilly. May not be in the Bible, but it's accurate. So, in other words, he did not come for the good. I came not for the good. I came for the sinner that repents. Now, repents doesn't mean what you think it means. Repents is the Hebrew word nacham. Nacham means to repent. But it means to comfort yourself that Jesus has done it all. God has done it all. That's what it means. So change your mind about what you think that you're going to help out or you're going to prove good or you're going to show that you're a wonderful person. No, you're not. You either show him or you show nothing. When men see your good works, they're not going to give you the glory. They're going to give the Father the glory because they know you didn't do it. It was the Father who was in the Son, in you, through the Holy Ghost. That's how it happened. That's how it happened. I'll tell you, that is freedom. That is true manumission, setting a slave free forever and ever and ever. How? Because you not only tell him you're free from now on with words, orally, but you also give him a document or an instrument that says, this is your certificate of manumission. In other words, this is your emancipation proclamation. So that anyone who comes to you just say, I used to be a slave, but I'm not now. I'm free. Completely free. Not only that, he gave me plenty of money. Not only that, he even gave me part of his land. Not only that, he sent me out fully equipped to live my free life just like he is. And so therefore, I'm able now to walk as a free man forever. Let no one ever accuse me. Now, that's what this Bible is. This Bible is your emancipation proclamation forever. Don't you dare do a lick of work. After all, you're the master now. You all see that? And the angels will be servants unto you. Did you know you have angels? And you can actually direct them. You can actually, tell them, hey, I need this. You can station them around your house. You can have them watch over you, and so on. Because those angels love you because you're the beloved. God chose you, and God says, okay, you just take care of that person. I want that person to be completely safe so that they come home alive. How many of God knows he knows how to take care of his mother. He knows how to take care of his wife. So you are now the wife of Jesus Christ, and he knows how in this world to take care of you. I send you out as sheep, lambs, in the midst of wolves. So you're living in a horrible, rotten, terrible place, but he'll take care of you. Amen. How many know that God's in charge of this world? Amen. The devil is not in charge. Now, you're going to think he is in this time period in which we're living. You may think that the devil's in charge. You may think that bad guys are winning. It'll look like it, and they will think it too. But don't you dare think that. You're winning. You're winning. Everything's working out. Everything's working out. The one that's in you, greater. The one that's in this world, nothing. Nothing. That's God's devil. That's God's demons. All those demons, God, at any time, just blow them away. But he's leaving them there to test you to see who is going to trust me and keep praising me and keep confessing your own sin, chair two, and keep believing, chair three, and then keep walking in love, chair four, so that when you arrive and the trumpet blows, you will look like what you've always been in God's sight. And remember, he takes only sinners. You have to be a sinner. And therefore, even though you have a new heart, you have a brand new heart right now, chair two. When you confess your sin in chair three, now you have a new heart. But you don't yet have a new soul and a new body. That is every day, start again, die daily, die daily, die daily, die daily. So every day you got to confess your sin again in chair two, then in chair three, believe that Jesus has forgiven it, so you're the righteousness of Christ. Chair four, you're actually not just professing it, but you're actually confessing it and walking in it. Yes. Now, I am then the righteousness of Christ in chair four, but am not yet perfect, even though I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm the righteousness of Christ by faith. So the faith teaching is erroneous. It's not correct that says you're already there. You're already there by heart, but you're not yet there by soul and body. I mean, no, even the biggest ministers can fall. The biggest ministries can collapse. We can't because we don't have enough people, but others can fall. Herein is love, verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and here's his love, that he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a word most people don't use. It's when you try to pay for something you've done wrong. You make up for it. But you can't expiate for your sin. The Catholic Church is built on this. When you do a wrong, you're still okay as long as you give a lamb, or you give a bull, or you do something in the Jewish religion, or in the Catholic religion, if you come to Mass every day, or light a candle, or whatever, you got to do some good things, do your beads, and so on. Nope. None of that expiates your sin. Your sin's still with you. All of that was a waste of time, complete waste. Everything that man has ever done religiously is totally unacceptable to God. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. The man at his best state is a stench in the nostrils of God. All your righteousness is a filthy rag in God's smell. He can smell that right through. Oh, you did poo-poo. That I don't like that smell. That everything you do is dung. Everything you do is dung. Paul says, you know, when I met Jesus Christ, I just went away from all my good things, and I knew right then everything was dung. I was just painting gold over the dung, pretending like it was better. So everything you ever have done is no good. How many know that you have nothing to be proud of? God just wants to marry you, the one who did nothing. Just wants to do it. How many know when the offer is made, even though you're not a king's daughter, even though you don't qualify, if he wants to choose you, he can. 33rd chapter, 19th verse, Exodus. When he gave the law, right after the law, he said this. But wait a minute, I reserve for myself a royal prerogative right to forgive any sinner, show mercy to any sinner if I want to. Well, not only does he want to, he did. And in Jesus Christ to proclaim that openly. I want all men. I wish all men could be saved. They may not be because I give them free will and therefore they get to decide. So you don't have to do a good work to be on God's side. As a matter of fact, some of you Christians have failed to make even a good effort. Now, you know, I don't mean everybody. but you know who I mean. There are some Christians that haven't even made a good effort. And those that have can judge them and look down on them and despise them. Well, you know, you sinned and then you didn't do anything to even change. You didn't even feel bad. You just kept it up and thought the blood of Jesus would cover you. Well, I hope you go to hell. Now, how many know that is not exactly what Jesus had in mind? That is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is your efforts are unnecessary because he's already accepted you in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses everybody that wants it, but you have to want it. If you don't want it, you don't have to take it. He won't force you. Love never forces. Freedom comes from love. When you love somebody, it has to be free. If you do it out of duty, it's not love. I'm going to say that again. If you do it out of duty, if you do it because you're moral, if you do it because you're ethical, if you do it because you have some kind of code you're following, you don't have a God. You have a code. Even if it's God's code and God's law, you cannot be perfect under God's law. Because he says you have to be like me. Well, you can't make yourself like him. Nothing in nature can make you like God. So the Bible is very clear that we don't have any hope apart from God. But you have all hope if you believe that if you confess your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then submit to him in obeying, and you don't do it, but let him do all three of those, then that's it. There's your salvation right there. That's how you sit in that chair. Because he's done everything. There's nothing more to be done. And that's why that's the only chair of worship. I thank him for doing everything, not most, and then I'm going to finish it. I thank him for doing everything. I thank him for being everything. And I thank him that he loves me and I love because he first loved me. I'm just responding to him. I'm not doing a new work. Worship is not a work. It's a response to the fact that Jesus has done all the work. That God the Father has done everything for you. Then he's doing it in you. Then he's doing it through you. That is amazing. That's why no one glorifies you in chair four. Chair four is where you did a good work, but they know you didn't do it. That was Jesus, Christ in you. That was not you. That actually was Christ. If you did it, they wouldn't glorify God. The reason they glorify God is because they know you didn't do it and that was God. And they don't see you, they see God. And when they see Jesus in you, they know that's a miracle. And they glorify the Father. The church has failed today to be the church. The church has utterly failed to be the church. It believes that if I just confess my sin and then make an effort, that I'll get to heaven. Or I just confess my sin and Jesus forgave me and I believed him, that then they can go to heaven. Not so. What he's saying is, when you believe in me, I confess your sin, and then believe in me that I've forgiven that sin you just confessed, and then believe that not only am I faithful and just to forgive you the sin that you just confessed, but to cleanse you from all unrighteousness day by day by day by day by day. And that I guarantee you that you will then be perfected in love and you will then be a worshiper of me on the earth, just as it is in heaven.
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the will of God. That you let God do it all. It is not the will of God that you do it. It's the will of God that you don't do it like a good wife who then submits to her husband. She just submits to him, not because he's good or bad or anything. It's just that she trusts that that man that God has given to you is a gift of God. That God, the good God who loves you, can give you a not good husband. There's never been an exception to that. You all don't see the humor of that. That God, who's a good God, will give you deliberately, knowingly, give you a husband who is not perfect. And yet, he wants you to say, because God gave him to me, I praise God. He's a gift of God to me, even though he looks not like that. He's wrapped up real funny. He looks unreliable. To me. Could I hear the women say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Doris. Powerful. He may not look good, but he is perfect in God's sight for you to bring out all your sin. Hello? Has God ever failed in that? Has there ever been a husband who has succeeded in being perfect? It never happened. There is no husband like that. Now, so don't try to be that. Let God be God, amen, and you be you. Amen. And God will say to you, as I say to my wife, you're the best. You're perfect, just the way you are. But I'm not talking about behavior. I'm not talking about anything I can see or understand or smell or touch. I'm talking about what Jesus said, God gave you to me as a perfect wife. You are perfect, therefore. Now, that's by faith. You see that? That's the way God wants me to respond to him and then also to anyone else. We love people that are not lovable. Did you hear what I just said? Amen. We don't love people that we can trust. Amen. We never love people we can trust. That's even stronger. We never love people we can trust. We love people that are sinners, even if they're saints who still sin, whom we cannot trust because they are not God. Put not your trust in man, even a Christian man. Put your trust in the Lord. So if you don't have the Lord in your marriage won't make it. If you don't have the Lord in your marriage, you can't make it because the man you're dealing with, even though he's a Christian, he's a failure. Because he isn't yet perfect. Amen? Could you say that of your husband, that he's not perfect? That's good. She's grinning from ear to ear. She totally agrees with that, which is good. So God does not want husbands to be perfect by their doing. He wants it to be by his gift. Trust me, this is good for you. It's going to turn out just great. How many know you have to have faith? You're not going to see it. You're not going to smell it, touch it. So on and so forth. You have no way to know that. You just say, God wrote it down. I am to love even my enemy. Amen. Even my enemy. Yes. Even if someone's an enemy, that I want you to confess the log in your own eye and not the log that's in somebody else's eye. Amen. Do not notice, you know, how far short someone has fallen. Notice only this, that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, loves you. That is enough to make you happy for the rest of eternity. If you never saw it, amen. I believe you're the perfect church. I believe my wife is the perfect wife. I believe that I am the perfect pastor for you, even though I'm not, and even though you're not. Amen. It doesn't matter to me, because I believe that God is proving something here, that whether it's rain or whether it's hail, it doesn't make any difference. God is in charge, yep, and he doesn't make mistakes, and the devil's not running this world. Amen. The devil is the god of this world, meaning those not born again, meaning those who don't believe in Jesus and are regenerated, meaning those who do not walk in the light and in the life. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a Christian or not. You still sin. You still must confess every day. A lot of the denominations teach that when Jesus did it, you're the righteousness of Christ. It's over. No, it isn't. You're the righteousness of Christ in your spirit, man. That is in your heart. You have a new heart. You don't yet have a new soul or a new body. And your body does not respond to your heart. It responds to your soul. So every day Christians sin. Could I hear a loud amen? Amen. Every day Christians sin. I die daily, Paul says. Not that I'm already perfect, Paul says. So none of us are perfect. And so that's why you have to every day confess your sin. That's why the law still counts. Because by the law, listen carefully to what God says. By the law, he says, I hate sin, but I love the sinner. In other words, I hate sin. I don't tolerate it. So homosexuality is a big deal today. Somebody said, you know, do you love homosexuality? No, not at all. Don't tolerate it. It's a sin. I'm blunt. I'll never negotiate on it. However, because I love you, I want you to be happy, and where you're going is not getting there. You need to know Jesus Christ. And, you know, right back here in the hallway, the number one homosexual in Fort Worth was converted in within about 15 minutes, I'll say 15 minutes. He was converted. He was the leader of all the homosexuals in all of Fort Worth. He was the head person. And his sister was a member of the church, and she said, By the way, you don't know this, but my brother is a homosexual. I said, well, good, have him call me. She said, well, he'd never come to church. He's not going to call you. I said, well, just tell him I want to see him. Just tell him. She said, well, he won't come. I said, I know, but call him and tell him Pastor Jim wants to see him. He'll come. I guarantee he'll come. The Holy Spirit told me he'll come. Well, he came. 15 minutes later, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, went home, talked to his dad, confessed his sin to his dad, talked to his mom, told her, no more, Mom, I'm not doing that, what I used to do. I'm going to tell all the homosexuals in Fort Worth. All the homosexuals in Fort Worth came to his funeral. The casket was right here. They came to his funeral because he told them, because he was their leader, I want you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ from this minister that got me saved. I am no longer homosexual. And they all came. And they packed up the walls here. They were 2-3 deep all the way around, filled up every chair. There's a lot of them. I don't know if you saw how many cars there were next door in this church over here. This is their church. This is their big center in Fort Worth. And they all came because they had to hear the gospel. It's powerful. That was because their leader got converted. It can change the world overnight. So there are no powers in this world. But anyway, we don't tolerate it. But that doesn't mean we don't love the person. We love the person. We hate the deed. When you love a child who's done wrong, you're not saying what they did was good. You're not subsidizing what they did. You're not saying it's okay. Oh, well, I love you. No, no. Love has to always be spoken in truth. Or truth has to always be spoken in love. To love somebody doesn't help them. Love will not set anyone free. Truth sets free, not love. Did you hear me? So when you love somebody and say, yeah, just do whatever you want because I love you unconditionally, that's not what unconditional love would do because that's not what God did. God says, I hate sin, but I love the sinner. So therefore, I want every man to have the opportunity to be saved. If they want it, they can take it. So every day we confess our sin, homologeo. Homo means same, legeo means speak. So if God says that just being a little bit cold today was a sin, I'm confessing it. God, I read your word today, but I did a little bit cold. I didn't really fall in love with you with all my heart and soul and strength. I didn't love my neighbor as myself. I confess that. He is faithful and just to forgive you and then to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now I have no unrighteousness in me because he just forgave me and now he cleansed me through the power of the Holy Spirit day by day by day by day by day. This was one time. This is daily. So what we're lacking today in the church is a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Not just an individual, but the whole church. God wants whole church, not just one congregation like ours, but I mean the whole church throughout the world. He wants us to be a bride without any sin. That you may have done one 3 seconds ago, but he wants you not to do it. The minute you do it, you just go, God, forgive me. I just did something wrong right there. I forgive you. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, glorify you. And then he wants you to walk immediately in faith based upon the truth that he just spoke to you in love. And you can walk right away in love. So let's say you don't feel it, you don't understand it, you don't even want to say it, but you just say it to somebody. Derice, I love you with all my heart, soul, and strength. And I'd die for you. It's powerful. So when you say that to somebody, that is the way God teaches you to talk, because that's in the Bible. Because he says, you're now dead to yourself, you're dead to this world, you're dead to your thoughts, you're dead to your emotions, you're dead to your feelings, you're dead to everything in this world. Nothing in this world pleases God. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. The only thing he wants is the kingdom of God. So he has brought his kingdom into the world to destroy all the powers, all the authorities, all the thrones in this world. Everything that this world counts as good, he counts as dung. It's evil. Everything that he does, he counts as good, and that's what heaven's going to be all about, is those that on the world received his word, confessed their sin, believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior, the only Savior, and now they walk by the power of the Holy Ghost, which has changed them. From glory to glory, he's changing me. That's the church he's coming back for. So this message, this truth, is true no matter if anyone believes it or not. It's still true. But here's what he says. Every time my word goes forth, no matter how it goes forth, Every time it goes forth, whether people do it out of pride or jealousy or what they do it out of, thank God the word goes forth. When it goes forth in truth, it will bear whatever God intended it to bear. That's in Isaiah 55th chapter. So whenever my word goes forth, it always bears fruit. It always accomplishes something. It always accomplishes something. So God has sent his word, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem us. All of this is redemption, not just confessing my sin, not just believing in Jesus, justified, but also sanctified and glorified. All of this is what's called redemption. I've redeemed this for myself so that I may marry my people Israel, and that the church of Jesus Christ may marry the bride and groom, may come together and bear all kinds of fruit forever and ever and ever. So that is where we're heading. That's teleological meaning. That is where the ultimate purpose of God's kingdom is all about, to get you to this chair right here through this process right here. You could throw these all away, but it's going to be the same anyway. This here is the Holy Father. This is the merciful Son, and this is the powerful Holy Spirit. This one, you see your sin and you confess him. Nothing more. This one is where you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing more. And this one here is the power of the Holy Spirit to change you from day to day. From glory to glory, he's changing me. I am the branch that got grafted into the Son, grafted into the vine. And therefore, the fruit that comes out of me, I'm not looking at that. I'm only looking at what Jesus Christ did for me, in me, and now through me. And all of this, then, is a gift of God. Gift, gift, gift. Holy, holy, holy. Glory, glory, glory. This is outer court. This is the holy place. This is the Holy of Holies. So God wants us to be a church, and there's no excuse that we can't do it or can't do it right now. There's no excuse because he paid for everything. So you can't say, maybe tomorrow. Nope. It's right now. Right now, you can love one another. Amen. You don't have to feel it. Amen. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to even desire it. You just have to believe that that's what God wants for you, is to follow this process to that chair. Amen. So that you are his beloved. This is his love letter to you. Love has three faces right here. This face is the law. This face is the gospel. This is also then the perfect work of the gospel, so that love is perfected. It began here when he loved you as a sinner. Then it continued here as he loved you as the Savior. And it finishes here where he completely makes you into his image and likeness so that you can marry him. Because the bride has to look like the bridegroom. And if she hasn't suffered through this process, if she hasn't suffered, because one of the sufferings is, even when I'm finished with this on a daily basis, I'm still not perfect. So I have to believe that he loves me and did all of this to get me to a place I've never seen. I've never been to Father's house. I've never seen a perfect Shabbat Shalom. I don't see it any more than the Jews did, but they didn't believe. They tried their best to behave themselves, and that's not what he wanted. The only reason he gave the law to the Jewish people was to show them what he wanted to do, not what he wanted them to do. I want you to hear that again. The only reason he gave them the law was to show them a law of the covenant that would prove to them that they couldn't do what he wanted. It never gave them a law that they could do, but one that they couldn't do, so that he knew, I want you to be like me. Well, you can't do it. And that's what all he wanted them to say is, Lord, I confess I didn't do it. Remember King David? King David? Here's what he said. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. That's what David said. He said, oh Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? But he also said, I love thy law. Why does he love it? Not because he can do it, but because he cannot do it. And he likes the fact that he can humble himself and that God will exalt him and that God will then use him mightily. So here you see the whole gospel in the Old and New Testament. It's exactly the same. So Abraham, the father of faith, was born before this law, but he was under the law of sin and death just by his conscience. But already he knew that God provided a lamb for his son. When he was called to sacrifice Isaac, he did not want to do it. He had no desire to do it at all, but he knew it was God. So he obeyed, not under a law. He just obeyed because he trusted God. And that's why he called him the father of faith. And Jesus said, he saw my day. He knew that someday, not his son would die, but that I would die, God's son, for the sins of all mankind. Abraham was not just Jewish. He was not just part of the Jewish part. Abraham was for all mankind. He was for all mankind. Abraham had a message for all mankind, not if you do it, you're in, and if you don't, you don't. You're not. But he did not separate himself. He was in the world. He went into Egypt. He went into all the wrong places and did everything. He was not a faithful man at all. God said, leave your family. He took him. God said, go to the promised land. He stayed in Haran. Then his dad died. Then he went to the promised land, saw that it was a famine, went on to Egypt. He did everything wrong. Did you hear me? Even though he was obedient, he wasn't. Because God said, go to the promised land. I'll show you a land. He showed it to him, and he said, it looks like a pile of rocks to me, and it looks like there's a famine in this land. I think I'm going down to Egypt. They got jobs down there, and got money down. Let's go to Texas. And so he did. But even though he did that, God loved him anyway. You know why? Because Abraham didn't believe in Abraham's faith. His faith was not in his faith. It was in God's faithfulness. It's a huge difference. He did not believe that he would be faithful. He believed that God would not lie to him. That God would provide a lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Not only forgive them, but also remove them forever on this earth. So that we can actually do the will of God, build the kingdom of God. I'm building my house, Jesus said. Foundation, house, you. And then also, what's in the house? We're going to be married and we're going to declare and worship God right there. That's the whole point, is it's not he who begins the foundation, but he who counts the cost to say, I also have to be then through the mercy of God. Here's the holiness of God. Here's the mercy of God. Here's the power of God. I need to finish this thing so that I can sit there at rest waiting for my beloved to do all the work, get it finished. And when that trumpet sounds, I'm going home. So how do you get to Father's house? The same way anybody gets there. You got to go through the holiness, the mercy, and the power of God. That is the love of God. That's love to give you the mercy there, to give you the law right there to say you're not good enough. And here he says, now you're good enough because you believed in my son, Jesus Christ, who is perfect, and you believe that. Therefore, I count that as righteousness. And here, you actually acted it out in love, bearing fruit, fruit that abides, and men gave glory to me. Therefore, you have fulfilled my purpose for you. Otherwise, he would just born us again and take us home. But he wants us actually to walk in love starting today. He wants us to love today people that don't deserve it. He wants to love today, just if you just take your own family, don't even love a stranger, just take of your own family. If you just love the people that brought you into this world, who may or may not deserve it, who cares? They're your parents. And God doesn't give you perfect parents on purpose. And he doesn't give anybody perfect parents. But he still wants people to be born and to live and to die. Still. So that during that time, his love can come forth. He wants to show himself to be a loving father who has never had one angry thought. There's no darkness in him. There's no sin in him. There's no hatred in him. There's no vile in him. He does not desire the death of any sinner. This sinner right here is loved by God, even though he hates the sin. And he's going to separate that sin through the power of Jesus Christ and his mercy until he removes it completely so that you're able to walk in love. So the church today is not doing this. Most of the church today is right here. Most of the church, there are a lot of the churches here. It's just licentious. Some of the churches here. If you stay here for very long, you'll become legalistic at best. Or you'll fall back into license at worst. So you see many people that are born again, they believe in Jesus, they believe in the mercy of God, truly believe. But they also then fall back into a habit, into a life pattern, because you didn't go on, you will go backwards. You cannot stay here. You cannot just stay here. The lukewarm church does. The lukewarm church is still going. They have all the forms of religion but have denied the power. Here's the power. This is just the form to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Okay. That means nothing. That's just a profession. It's not a confession of sin. It's not a confession of faith, because this is confessing my sin. This is confessing my righteousness. But this is actually living it out by proof, day by day, that people can see so they can glorify God by your life. So this good news, I hope it's good news to you, is simple. God is love, and in him is no darkness at all. Perfect love casts out all sin. So this perfect love, this is not, it's his perfect love to you, but it's not perfect love until not just Jesus forgives you, but until the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of you, perfects you into his image and likeness. That's perfect love. I forgive your sin, not only do I forgive that sin, but I want then to remove it completely so that it's not ruling over you in this world, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against that church right there. It can convey, this gate here, the gates of hell can easily take the lukewarm church. This is what's wrong with the church today, is they have the ability to survive, they do not have the ability to overcome. And it's only the overcomer that's going to make it.
Amen.
You can read the book of Revelation and see that it'll say every time, and to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat with me, and so on and so forth. So whatever overcoming is, the lukewarm church cannot do it. Because it's still bound to sin, loves this world, still into the flesh. The flesh is staying alive. It is not dead. Here, though you're righteous, you didn't continue in it. Therefore, it's not perfected. So what God is teaching us is confess your sins every day. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want it. Just do it. Just say, I wasn't perfect today to my husband. I wasn't perfect today to my wife. I let her bear the burden. I took the blessing. You've done that a couple of times. What, three, four?
Days.
Yeah. And do you feel bad about that you married somebody that deceived you completely? No. It's good. Because he's still a gift from God.
Amen.
And you're still a gift to him. He needs you. You have worn him down to a frazzle. I love it.
Broken.
Amen. It's good. And that's what we want. We want the man to die. And when you confess your sin to God, it kills your flesh.
Amen.
And then when you believe on Jesus Christ, that kills your flesh. And then when you allow the Holy Spirit and submit to the Holy Spirit inside of you and obey him without understanding, you don't have to understand it. You just have to know what it is he wants me to say or do. That kills your flesh. So the death of the flesh, that's the means to get you to that purity right there. This is a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So how many want to testify, Pastor, I'm there. I'm already there. I'm sitting in this chair right here. I'll put it out to see you there. But don't take your eyes off of Jesus, so I'll put it back. That I'm already there. How many are already there? Monica, are you already here? Yes. Praise God. I love it. That means she's dead. That means she's dead. That means she's happy. You know, it's the minute you die, you can love others.
Amen.
As long as you're alive, you cannot.
Amen.
You're going to take care of yourself. You're going to think about yourself. You're the center of attention. But the minute you're dead by Jesus Christ, you can't do the killing. You can't kill yourself. But the minute you're dead by the truth is going to set you free. There's freedom. Freedom is here that he'll even speak to me as a sinner. He shouldn't even speak to me. But there's freedom right there that he'll speak to me. And then this is greater freedom, that he'll call me righteous long before I am, just by the blood of Jesus, that I believed in it. And then here, I'm fully free. This is the freedom that he wants for us. That's the truth in its fullness. So the church today is not doing that. And I'm not saying this for any reason to criticize anybody. I'm saying it because if you don't know the end, you really can't make a start. If you don't know where you're going, you're going to get in the car and drive somewhere, but it won't be where. You need to know where are you going. You can't even begin until you know the end. So all of your work is in vain. If you're in Fort Worth and you want to go to Dallas, you have to know that you want to head that way. You don't want to go that way or that way or that way. But no, I did something. Yeah, I know, but how do you know you're heading to Dallas? You can only know if you know where it is that you want to end up. Well, where you want to end up is spirit, soul, and body, justified, sanctified, and glorified, outer court, holy place, and holy of holies, etc., etc., etc. That's where you want to end up right here, that you love God as he loves you. That you love God. Why? Because he puts that in you. He's the one that loved us first, and he came to us and offered everything he has. He not only created you, then he redeemed you, then he also perfected you so that he could then marry you, so that then he could give you all of his inheritance.
Amen.
He gave you everything.
Amen.
There is no better news than that.
Yeah.
So whatever God creates, God is able to forgive, and God is able to perfect, and God is able to govern, and God is able to do all those things. So here, he's saying to you, hey, I created you for a certain purpose, and you're not submitting to my government. And you go, you're right. And he goes, I forgive you.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Boom. As soon as you do that, no feeling bad about it or anything like that, because you're not relying on yourself to change.
Amen.
You're relying on him to change you.
Yeah.
Why did he even talk to me in the first place?
Right.
What is man that thou art mindful of him?
Yeah.
Here's man,
yeah.
Sinful man, a wicked man. What is man? Why does God even look at a man? Why didn't he just wipe him out?
Yeah.
He wrote it down pretty clear. You eat of that tree, you're dead.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it. Why? Because he's mindful of him. He goes, well, you know, I know what I said, and I deliberately said it, but you don't know what I said. Remember I said, don't eat of the tree? Uh-huh. Do you remember you did? No. Do you remember that you ate of that tree? Yeah. Okay, very good. So he said, the reason I'm talking to you is because I'm going to curse the snake and not you. Did you hear that? I mean, I don't know if anybody noticed that, but the snake is the one that got it. Now, they were under kind of like a little process here that God had in mind that would take thousands of years. 6,000 years so far. We still haven't gotten there. So what is it that he wants? He wants us to do what he originally intended for us to do when he created us. He does not want us to go back to Adam and Eve. Does not want us to go back to Adam. Most pastors teach this wrong. He does not want you to do that because they just fall again. He wants you to go on to the kingdom of God. To build his kingdom and do what he originally intended you to do, which is to be a lover just like Jesus Christ and marry him and get all the inheritance, all the reward, all the prizes. That's what God's always wanted for you, and he's not going to quit until he has his way. And he's already chosen all of you. He chose everybody in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to do it. You don't have to take it. He just comes to you and says, I want to marry you. That's it. Right there. I want to marry you. I just want to marry you. I just want you to know. I want to marry you. Yeah, but I've sinned. That doesn't mean anything. I still want to marry you. But I'm going to have to wait a little bit during our betrothal period. And then I'll make sure that there's no sin in you. I got a lot of sin in me. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. I'll take care of it. You see, I'm the husband. I'm the king. I'm the one that can do it all. I love you. And I just want to marry you. Well, I'm ugly. I know. I agree. But here's the thing. This is a makeover. It's going to be a dramatic makeover. You're going to look really good when I get done with you. All I have to do is kill you. That's all I have to do is just kill you. But here's what will kill you, my love. My love for you as a sinner that I just forgave, my love for you is 100%. But when I'm done with you, you're going to look like this. Just trust me. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Hope you are blessed by this message. Anyone want to testify? Anyone want to testify? Yes.